International success coach and noted author Constance Arnold delivers life-changing strategies through her own spiritual practices, as well as with best-selling authors and experts that she interviews. Think, Believe, and Manifest is specially designed to empower your mind and words to work for you and to bring about a life you've been dreaming of. And now, here's Constance Arnold.
Well, hello, powerful manifester, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And of course, I am Constance Arnold, host of the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show, my 16th year. And I am so happy, so grateful, so thankful that you have joined me today from all over the world. And you know, with all of the faith that's on the inside of me, I believe that the Spirit has attracted you here, that you've been searching, you've been looking, you've been praying. You know that there's more for you. And I believe today that you're going to receive exactly what you need. Well, happy Easter weekend to everyone. And it's a beautiful day here in the ATL. It is hot, y'all. It's almost 80 degrees here, but it feels so wonderful. And I'm going to give a little, I don't know if it's a prayer before we go to break, but it's just some insight for you. Well, my very special guest today, you better put your seatbelt on, this Brenda J. Culpepper, and she's going to talk to you, but she's a happiness certified happiness coach, and she's going to speak to you about how to be happy for no reason and give you steps that you can live in that vibration. Also, how is your 30-day imagination challenge going? Have you been imagining every day? Well, you know, just set aside intentionally. You know, manifestation is deliberate. So you are deliberately setting aside 3 to 5 minutes once, twice, three times a day just to feel and imagine and dream, hold it in your mind, and make sure that you attach your feelings and your emotions to it. Somebody sent me an email, and they said, Constance, it's hard for me to imagine. I said, well, it's not, because if you're worrying, you are imagining. But if you find it difficult, write down, you know, you're choosing one goal, write down, what would it feel like? And if it's been so long you can't feel, go back to a time, let's just say money, when you did have a lot of money. What did that feel like for you? And bring that feeling. It's something about when you write something down, it feels so wonderful to have all the money that I need. You know, just stop and feel that. All right, you need to go back and listen to my show. So if you're having a hard time imagining, write it out. And as you're writing, you begin to think it, you begin to feel it, and do it every day. It may be the same ideal scene over and over. That's up to you. But boy, your imagination is God and it is powerful. Well, I am inviting you to get my free ebook, 7 Steps to Manifesting Your Dreams. Just go to my website, fulfillingyourpurpose.com. When you're on the site, it's at the top on the left. You just click it. It's beautifully done. The graphics are really inviting and colorful, and that will really help you to stay aligned. What else? Follow me on social media, TikTok, and Instagram is Law of Attraction Constance. Facebook is Coach with Constance. And of course, my YouTube. You know, you can really get motivated and inspired just by looking at or watching my 2 to 3 to 4 minute uploads that I do every week. And of course, I certainly do reels. Anything else? You're ready for change. You're ready for a season, coach. You feel like the Spirit is speaking to you to work with me, to coach with me. You know my background. I'm seasoned. have worked with over 10,000 clients, but you know something? Most people just know by the spirit. Yes, she gets me. Yes, Constance would understand me, etc. Let's do a discovery call. Email me, constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Well, it is the Easter weekend, and whether you believe in God, Jesus, higher power, spirit, infinite intelligence, you know that there's something higher than you, right? And that something, it's not church, it's not religion, it's love. And you know, I'm going to say love is the highest vibration. And because of who I am, God or spirit really loves you and wants you to be happy and fulfilled. And one thing about love is responsive to all of your needs and feelings. So if you have needs right now, if you've been feeling some kind of way, God or the spirit wants to respond to you. You know, I tell people, turn it over to the love of God and allow the spirit to work out the details. And then once you turn it over, you know, just know that the spirit will give you directions. You'll get a idea, intuition, and rest. What does that mean? That means that you're not going to be anxious. You're going to rest and trust. Some of y'all might have to do that moment by moment, that love will respond to you. Now, any of you who have children, and if they want something to eat, because you love them, would you withhold that from you? So God wants to comfort you. God wants to assist you, guide you. The Bible says he is the lifter of my head. I love that verse. It just dropped in my spirit. So if you've been down, God wants to lift your head up. And whatever you're feeling, the spirit love wants to respond to that. And just remember this one thought, that all of your thoughts and feelings are communicating with infinite love itself. Oh my goodness, just think about that. All of your thoughts, all of your desires, all of your feelings, all of your emotions are communicating and connecting with love itself. What does love want to do? Love wants to give. Love wants to respond to you. So I want you to say this with me. Infinite love is in me, around me, up on me, and love is responding to me, my needs, my desires, and my feelings. So I just want you to take that in infinite love. Infinite means that it's so big and it's so much that you can't measure it. Take all of that in. Know that you are deeply loved and richly provided for. Say that with me. I am deeply loved and richly provided for. So on this Easter weekend, I just want you to remember that and to tap into that. Love wants to give to you, love wants to respond, and love always provides. All right, let's take a deep breath in, everybody. Let it out. One last time, a deep breath in. Let it out. Get centered. Open up your heart and your spirit to receive.
Are you feeling stuck? Are you ready to live a life beyond your wildest dream? Constance Arnold is a seasoned and experienced professional licensed counselor for 25 years and a certified success life coach, and would love to partner with you to create your dreams. She's coached and trained over 10,000 clients on 5 continents and has a proven track record of success. Constance will assist you in getting a clear vision for your life and develop customized strategies, projects, and action steps to begin manifesting your dream. Contact her today at Constance@FulfillingYourPurpose.com and visit her website at FulfillingYourPurpose.com.
Well, everybody, I'm back and I'm really excited about my guest today. You better put your seatbelt on. You better open up your heart and your spirit. You know, your heart is 5,000 times more powerful than just your thinking alone. But my very special guest for a second time is Brenda J. Culpepper. She is an author. If you're watching this, you can see it. You can't get a racehorse out of a mule. And other stuff her mama said. She is a certified happiness coach. I'll let her expound on that. She is the founder of the Prophet's Portion School of Ministry, where she trains emerging leaders in the area of the prophetic, as well as equipping them for their ministerial assignments. She is the incumbent president of Eagles Landing Property Owners Association for the last 4 years. I think she's the first African-American woman to hold that position. It's a home to high-end real estate homes, golf and country clubs, etc., with over 2,000 members in the association. She's also a powerful motivational speaker and a recipient of so many awards that I can't even name them. But this is the funny part to me. She holds the keys to 3 U.S. cities for her work in the gospel music industry. I always jokingly say sometimes I can't even find my one key to my car, but we are honored and blessed. Open up your spirit. Brenda J. Culpepper, welcome back to the Law of Attraction Radio Network, my dear.
Thank you so much for having me on this beautiful day in Georgia. Beautiful yellow day in Georgia. You know, all that pine pollen out.
So for all of my international listeners, it's spring here. I know in Australia, you guys are in a different season. But in Georgia, mm-hmm. the pollen is just yellow and everywhere. And that's why I have my tissue right here. So how have you been?
I'm good. I'm really good. I'm just blessed and highly favored of the Lord, as always. Just doing what he said, when he said, in the best way I can to do it how he said it. Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm doing really well. Thank you. Thank you. Well, let's get right to it. You are a certified happiness coach. Expound on that a little bit, and we're going to teach people how to get happy for no reason.
Well, I took Marcy Shimoff's Year of Miracles class. I got this email, come join the Year of Miracles and you would be exposed to creative thinking, next level, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, this sounds very, very interesting because I am a lifetime learner. I still think there's something somebody else has greater than me that I could learn something from. And this was very intriguing to me because it sounded very esoteric. And so about 2 or 3 months in, she did this special class on becoming a certified happiness trainer. I didn't know. I'm like, I think I live a good life. I thought I was happy until I sat there for an hour listening to the concept of being happy for no reason. That is being living a life of love, peace, and joy in spite of circumstance. And I was so intrigued by it. I said, well, you know, maybe I'll think about it. So they sent out 5,000 invitations, 5,000, because that's how many people was in the Year of Miracles class. So I said, oh, you know, 5,000. She said she was only taking 250. There was just no way in the world they were going to, you know, there's that thinking, right? Mm-hmm. So I filled out the application, 20 questions. And they wanted to know what your internet, pre what your social media presence was. You had to send your bio. You had to ask, they asked a whole lot of questions. I sent it in. A couple of days later, I get a call from, this is the Happy for No Reason, blah, blah, blah. We want to interview you. Okay. So I passed the, you passed the first round. Second round, and you know me well, right? So you know I can be flip. It was a Sunday after church, Sunday afternoon, and I start out with, look, let's be clear. I am saved, sanctified, spirit-filled. I am a Christian educator, and my primary gifting is that of the prophetic. I teach the prophetic. And so my only concern about this happy for no reason stuff is if it's too esoteric for my Christian nature, I don't know how this is going to work out. And she was like, okay. So after the interview, about 29 minutes later, she says, we like you. I'm going to put your name through to Marcy, and that'll be the last hurrah. So I was chosen. They chose 249 women, or I should say people, because some of them are men, out of 5,000. And then entered into this life-changing journey with Marcy for 14 weeks. Every week, she trained us personally. And then you get a license. You have to shoot a video of yourself teaching a class, 30-minute class. You have to shoot a video. Let me state this, and I found this very intriguing. By the time I filled out the application and they made the call, they had checked me, had vetted me. Everything I said on that application, you know, your education, because you know you can Google everything and every. They checked my social media pages, Instagram, Facebook, whatever. They read what people said about me. I found that thoroughness was very intriguing to me. So here I am now. It's been a year. And you followed me on my journey as certified happiness trainer. And they just interviewed me last week
I saw that.
about my experience. Because remember, I am me. I look like me. And there's not a lot of me out and about. So what I've done is I've enculturated my spiritual training, because I'm also a fully seated prophet. So my spiritual training and this esoteric has been life-changing for those that I talk to about happiness. So hopefully that didn't blather too much in answer
No,
to your question.
I love the merging of your own spirituality, your own relationship with God, all of your lifelong experiences merge and couple with what you learned from Marcy. So I got tons of questions for you. We want to help people get happy and stay happy for no reason. So the last time you were here, you talked about our happiness set point, and what does that mean for listeners?
Listen, the best way to explain a happiness set point is this: how you view your life, your world. 50% of our happiness set point is, believe it or not, genetic. It's in our DNA. It's who we are. It's how we, the experiences, the traumas. That is our baseline for being happy. Then you have 10% that is circumstance, contrary to popular opinion. 10%, oh, I live here and there, or I don't have this or that. So that's circumstance. But 40% is behavior and habit. So you take those numbers, merge them together, and you get your happiness set point. So, for example, and this is the best way to explain it, people have asked me, how do I change? No, let me say it this way. My very first seminar, Happy for No Reason seminar, I invited 12 women to my office. You know where my office is. And we sat around that table overlooking the country club golf course. I had breakfast because food produces endorphins. So everybody was kind of zen. And I start out with, happiness set point. And one of the women, everybody in that room were multiple degreed women, high profile doctors. I had an LCSW who said to me, if slavery is in my DNA and it's a high form of trauma, I remember having this conversation with you right after she asked me, how do I ever, if trauma is subconscious, because the slavery trauma to our generation is subconscious. We don't know really because we haven't experienced it. But anyway, so I called Marcy in California and I asked this question. One of my, someone in the class asked this question and they were honest enough to say, no one's ever asked the question. And so we don't know how to answer it. Would you help us help you? So I explained to them in the interview that what I had to do was do research on trauma, the word trauma, how trauma is perceived by people in order to help them overcome their current reality of trauma. Trauma could be you got divorced or you were homeless or whatever your perceived trauma is, in order to get them people to understand these numbers, the 50% number can change if you change your habits, if you change your circumstance, you can change your happiness set point to get to a place, because that has to be our goal, where we can live in a place of Zen. Marcy tells a story, and it's in her book, about a nurse who was very, very tired. She had worked a double shift. She was tired. Her eyes were burning. She goes to the drugstore. She buys a box of Visine. She gets in the car. She was so tired. She opens the Visine and puts a drop in her right eye. And her eyes started burning, and she thought it was because she was tired. She then put a drop in her left eye, only to discover someone had tampered with the Visine and put acid in the bottle. That is the reason today that we have seals, the little plastic, because of she sued and won the case. But point of my story is she's living a very happy, fulfilled life. Of course, she can't work and she lost most of her vision, but she's a motivational speaker traveling the country, telling her story that in spite of her circumstance, she can still be happy. And one of the other most famous stories is there's the woman who lived in Africa and her village was raided by some gangs and she was raped and her two children, son and daughter, and they tried to get the son to rape his mother, blah, blah, blah. They shot the son in the leg. She escaped with her children. She made it to America. All she wanted to do was be in America. And the story made its way to Oprah, and Oprah went over there and built a school in her village. I mean, there are people who have issues and challenges in their circumstance, but in spite of their circumstance, they wake up with joy every morning. So
Brenda, that 40% habits, let's focus in on that. So can people begin to think intentionally, to feel and to believe a certain way? And does that produce happiness? Can we increase that 40% of habits? And will it sort of begin to overcome any trauma that may be in our lives?
Well, I'm going to use myself and be transparent because I think that's what's best.
Okay.
I have been struggling, and I'm going to use the word loosely, with weight. Now, you've seen me, you know me. I may look to you like I'm fine. Okay. However, the weight was causing other issues, A1C over 7, hypertension, potassium, all kinds of medical issues. Because the body, now don't misunderstand, I believe God for all things. But I also know that God works in concert with nature. And that when nature runs amok, he gives man wisdom to become doctors, you go see them. And so losing the weight was changing my mind about the ability to lose the weight. Part of the challenge that most of us have begins in the mind. The mind is a terrible thing to waste. We've heard that. But the mind is the body's onboard computer. It controls everything. It controls what you see. It controls what you think. It controls how you feel. So the first thing you're going to have to do is change your mind. Now, for a lot of people, including me, I am what's called an overthinker. We all think. We talk ourselves out of everything. We can't keep the mind quiet. We can't keep it to shut up. We can't tell the mind, if you walk into a room and somebody looks at you funny, you kind of sort of feel some kind of way, oh, they're thinking or talking about me. No, you've got to quiet your mind. How do you quiet your mind is a question I get a lot. Some of that is in deadening until you can train your mind, especially at night. When we lay down to go to sleep, we should not be thinking about the failures of the day. So put some solfeggio music, 528 hertz, go to YouTube and listen, find out there are plenty of solfeggio music sounds that'll put you to sleep. Put some headphones on and use music to go to sleep. There are times when I've got, because you know the weight that I carry, that I'm on my way to a meeting and my mind is racing, I put on Kirk Franklin's Sirius XM radio and I put on some music and I turn it up so that I can't, because you can literally hear your mind thinking. Your mind is talking, so I have to drown out my own mind so that I could focus. And sometimes you have to take, so I'm going to give you some hints. When you're overthinking, I do this too. I have all my props. I buy these little notebooks. In these notebooks are my thoughts. You can see pages and pages. Mm-hmm. When I'm overthinking, I'm going to write. Just write it out. That's how we got our book written, because Brenda got tired of overthinking. I also know that when my body starts to break down, and sometimes this happens in the afternoon, I will take a 30-minute nap. I don't know if you do that. It is okay
every day. Take a 30-minute.
I have a friend who was a medical doctor. She teaches at Morehouse. She told me for the last 30 years, instead of taking a lunch, she'll eat a little something, and then she'll set her timer and take a 30-minute nap every single day. When you get sad, because that is, sadness is a real thing, you need to do something that produces endorphins, like exercising or walking. If you don't want to walk the 30 minutes that's required, walk for 5 and then 7. Go outside and commune with God outside. You'd be surprised. It'll elevate your endorphins. It'll saturate your blood with oxygen. When you get anxious, and this is real, and I lost the vice president of my board this week on Monday. So what did Brenda do? She came home, she wrapped herself in a blanket because of the yellow, and I sat outside and just looked out over the backyard and ignored the yellow and just meditated. To meditate means to think. You think on things that are lovely. You think on things that are of good report. Instead of thinking of that bad thing that happened yesterday, think about what the good thing was. And someone said to me, oh, but I don't have anything good to think about. Yeah, because you know what? You woke up this morning.
Yeah.
You didn't give a thought about the fact that I could swing my legs off this bed and walk to the restroom and all of my faculties were working. You have plenty of good to think about. So, one of the enemies of our mind screen time. Reduce it. Not, honey, don't use the screen at night. It will not put you to sleep. Okay. And the other thing that I do every single day is I read every day. Sun doesn't go down on the day that I'm not reading something. So these are just little tips to help you ease your mind.
So it sounds like to me you're saying journaling or writing something for some people, some form of meditation so you can calm yourself down in that theta state to just calm yourself down, moving your body and just reading something to renew your mind. And like you said, the Bible says, think on things that are good, lovely, and a good report. So if people can do more of that in that 40% where our habits are, would that bring more happiness in their lives?
It will begin to eat away at the 50%, the trauma. Mm-hmm. It'll eat away at it. And there's a little thing that I do. It's called the 333 plan. 333.
What is that?
You're going to spend 3 hours on your most important project. 3 hours. Then you're going to spend time on 3 shorter tasks. And then 3 maintenance activities. And that will give you what's called a productive day. 3 hours on something that's important to you. Could be work, could be a project, it could be something. 3 shorter tasks and 3 maintenance activities. Now, during this month of Happy Year of Miracles, this was the month that we were to do the 27-9 project, which means for 9 days in a row, you discard 27 somethings. Very difficult task, but I did my 27 times 9. And what you're doing is you're making room for a miracle. You're making room for something to happen. Because what we do, because the mind is so fertile, we're going to talk ourselves out of doing that which needs to be done. We're going to lay in the bed. We're just not going to do it. That's why it took me 10 years to write that book. You know, the whole imposter syndrome. So hopefully that helps.
And so our thoughts are energetic. And I think I said to you before we started recording, when there's a change of energy on the inside, our outside really has to shift and change. And so you just finished discarding a lot of stuff. So can things make us happy? You live in a gorgeous you live in a gorgeous home, a gorgeous mansion. Can things make you happy? I saw a picture of you on social media sitting on your veranda overlooking your pool.
That's what I was talking about, wrapped up in the blanket. Yeah.
Right. And so can things make you happy?
That is the greatest, biggest con, I'll use that word, misnomer, misconception about happiness that there is on the planet. If we call it the if I got that car, then I'll be happy. Mm. If I marry Tom, then I'll be happy. If I could just win $1 million on the lottery, then I'll be happy. The fact of the matter is, thoughts are things. Thoughts are things. So, and the Bible says, as a man thinks, so you have to think about the things that are lovely and of a good report. It doesn't say think about getting that Mercedes or, you know, the house. And to answer that question, the house was planned. When we retire, we're going to build a house, and blah, blah, blah. We're not going to have mortgage, blah, blah, blah. This is just God manifesting himself through us. That's all that this is. And so things cannot make you happy. Your mindset is the only thing that will make you happy. Once you change, you know how hard it is to change your mind?
Yeah.
Let me tell you. I want you to think about doing this way. I did an exercise at the class. There were 12 women, and you know, women come with pocketbooks and laptops and whatever. Everybody gather all your stuff. And they have been sitting there for an hour looking at the same thing. Take all your stuff and change your seat one seat over. And they had to gather all their stuff, and they may have had to talk to the lady next to them or whatever. I timed them. It took 4 minutes and 20 seconds for them to settle. So I said to them, what I'm introducing to you is the spirit of change. You had to take all your stuff, all your baggage that you brought with you, and change your seat. The view that you have in front of you now is refreshed because it's different than you, the one you would not have seen it if you had not made a material change. I wish I could get people to not be afraid to change.
And so, is it true? So, listeners, just what Brenda said, in what area of your life can you begin to change your thinking so that you can really change your world? And somebody says your thinking always precedes your manifestation. For example, when I finish recording and I may think, oh, I need to go to the store, you think it first and then you take the action behind it. So it sounds like that thinking when it comes to happiness is major.
Oh, yes. Well, let me just add to your manifestation, because that's a big thing with me, manifestation. When God said, let there be light, God saw the light before it manifested. So he thought it, he saw it, and then he spoke it into existence, or it manifested. So for us to have the same manifestation situation, we're going to have to, once we think it, you got to see it fully fleshed out. Otherwise, you know, it's not going to make full manifestation. Think it, see it, manifest it. Yeah.
I love that. You know, just last week I did a 30-day imagination challenge. And, you know, in the Bible, you the prophet, it says whatever you imagine would not be withheld from you. And so, listeners, she just said something profound. If you think something, and then you can begin to see yourself feeling happier, see and feel yourself already having, being, and doing the thing that you desire to manifest, it will happen for you.
You have to believe it, though.
Yeah.
You have to believe that all things are possible. All things. I work with someone who is in a very, very volatile home situation, wanted to get out. And so I said to her, you have to see yourself out first, because, there's no way out. I don't know what I'm going to do. Where am I going to go? See yourself out. See yourself. See your bags packed by the door. See your furniture in a truck. See him out of the way. See it, and then believe that it's going to manifest. And that was Christmas time, and, you know, and she's moving. He's gone, first of all, because she saw him in her mind. She kept projecting in her mind that he would be gone. He would be gone. He's gone. He's been gone 2 months, and she's moving tomorrow. The thing that she saw and believed it, I said, you've got to hold on to the horns of the altar and believe that first of all, we have to learn to believe that whatever the word says is true. You have to believe that. And sometimes I think we use God as a cosmic sugar daddy, that we could say it and you know, we quote scriptures 39 times and it's going to happen, but we can't do that without the work. And part of the work is believing that every word that he said is true, that he wished above all things that we would prosper and be in good health. We have to believe it. And so...
Well, you know, just really just sort of centering here on belief, one thing that I've been more aware of is that belief comes from your heart or your spirit. And so what that your friend did, she thought about leaving, but then scientists are finding out that when something gets in your heart, that the heart, or we might say the spirit, it's 5,000 times more powerful than thinking alone. So listeners, if you can believe, you know something, I can live a happy life after divorce. You begin to think that, believe it, and see it in your mind. It gets in your heart, and manifestation is inevitable.
Absolutely. Works every time. I've seen it work many, many, many times. But, you know, I don't want to make it sound easy that you can say it. It has to become a mantra. You might have to say it. You may have to journal it. You may have to listen to positive affirmations, say them over and over, so that because manifestation is a muscle that has to be strengthened. It's like working out. You got to work it. You got to work it. It's like miracles have to be worked. In order for it to truly come to fruition, you're going to have to really put in the effort and the time, because God is going to meet you at that place called there. That's what he does. He can't help himself. He's so glorious. Okay.
And so all the things that you've shared about reading, believing, all things are possible, that's expanding, as I see it, that 40%, and like you say, diminishing that 50% of DNA. The more you do that, the more you read, not so much screen time, it changes you on the inside.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to get to, is a place where circumstance, situation, history does not define us. We spend a lot of time thinking about could have, would have, and should have. And that is not our current reality. My experience has been that we use that which was in the past to define our present, not realizing that it is affecting our future. Yes, ma'am.
That's good. Somebody said now is old news. And if you want something different in the future, in this very moment that you and I are speaking, that's where you can begin to change your thinking, your believing, what you see in your mind, et cetera. So what's your take on, since I just taught on imagination, I want to go back to that with you, and people seeing something different that could bring them happiness. How can they do that when they might be mired in the past or those circumstances?
If a person is mired in a situation, was that your question?
Now, how can they imagine something different? Like your friend, how can you see something different when maybe you might have been overwhelmed? Maybe you don't have any money. Maybe you want to go to school and you tried and haven't gotten any scholarship. How can they make sure they project out that vision and just begin to see just a little bit that new person?
Challenging question, because it's going to require effort. Mm-hmm. And to change our mind, I remember when I had my little young parents keep program, I used to tell the girls, do something that's going to produce endorphins. So I dressed them all up and I took them to the Mercedes dealer to test drive a Mercedes so they could get the energetic circuitry of what that was like. And for some of them, their minds weren't quite there. So I told them to go to Home Depot. If Home Depot knew how many times I use them for manifestation exercises, it would blow their minds. But Home Depot represents building, new life. Go stand by where the lumber is being cut. It creates scientifically, this is scientifically proven, it creates endorphins. So I walked those girls up and down the Home Depot aisles, and they're looking at carpet and they're looking at cabinets because it represents new. So sometimes that's you good. Have to culturate into your spirit, man, something that makes you feel good. Even going to the supermarket can do that. But the danger with the supermarket is getting hungry. Don't go to the supermarket if you're hungry. You will overbuy. Do something that will make you create these endorphins that will help you get out of that. Because it's not hopeless. It is not hopeless. You know, there's movies you could watch and TV programs mm-hmm. that will bring, raise the happiness set point. Yeah.
I love that. Anything else, Brenda, that people can do to be happy for no reason?
Pray. You know, I pray in a prayer group. I've been doing this since the pandemic every Wednesday at 7:45. And invariably, I've always been called to pray. Because what I try to get people to do is to see it and believe it. See prayer as a real thing, tangible. Believe in something greater than yourself. And when you gotcha. Pray, you believe in what you're praying for. So I've had women ask me, but I don't know how to pray. Prayer is just talking to God. You can sit down quietly and talk to him, ask a question. Now, when I teach prophets who are learning to prophesy, what I say to them is you have to learn how to manifest the sound of God's voice in your ear, because most people don't know that when we prophesy, we're hearing our voice, thinking it's our words. It is not. It is the voice of the Holy Spirit. It is intuition. It is conscience, because your conscience will nudge you and say, nope, don't go down that road. Nope. Go three steps to the left. Nope. Don't buy that. That is the Holy Spirit, God living alive in you.
That's so good. That's real. So a relationship with God or spirit, it's just so powerful. I heard someone say yesterday that they said God is love. And then the next part was love always responds and wants to give. And so love that God. Loving, giving spirit that is in all of us wants to respond to our prayers and give us in our lives, you know, mm-hmm. just a prosperous and a blessed life.
Yeah, it can't help it. It's because that's love's job.
Yeah, it's love who it is.
It is who it is. And love, the more love you add in your life, the happier you become. See, people are challenged by the word happy as not being a real thing. I guarantee you, the more happiness you add into your life, the less issues and challenges you have with your circumstances, because they will not become important to you.
And so I guess lastly, gratitude, does that like, I know it puts you in a vibration, but can that move you toward more happiness when you look at what you do have? You know, there's an old gospel song that said, "Look how far the Lord has brought you."
Yep. Most people, I try to get folks to focus on the little teeny tiny things to be grateful for. And it's not a cliche when I said I'm grateful for being able to wake up clothed in my mind, in my right mind, with the faculty of my limbs, so that I am able, it could have gone a whole nother way. I'm thankful for just everything. And, you know, Year of Miracles and Happy for No Reason, they end every session with, we give thanks, because that is a belief, thankfulness and forgiveness. Oh, we got it. Just one second. Got to forgive, got to learn to forgive. Part of the trauma a lot of people carry is because of something somebody did to them. Sexual misconduct with children. You have to determine whether you're going to carry this unforgiveness. It's taken up space in your heart. And that space be filled with love. Unforgiveness has been linked to cancer, because it eats away. So, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It's so wonderful chatting with you all the time.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is I saw Dr. Michael Beck with a couple of weeks ago here in the ATL, and he said unforgiveness is radical self-abuse. So if we, it shook me when he said that, but flipping the coin to what you said, loving yourself, loving life, being grateful for what you do have. And so scientists are saying just being grateful for what you do have puts you in such a high vibration. It puts you up in the vibrations of love and abundance. Yes, so what you said is true.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anything else? Go ahead.
We live in a world filled with energy. Everything is energetic circuitry. The sun's energy, people have energy. When you know you've walked in a room and it felt kind of something because of the energy that was in the room. Energy amongst people can be photographed, believe it or not. There's cameras that can photograph the aura of people. So if we watch our energy, we will end up in a much happier and zen place. We could watch our energy and those we are attracted to. And some folks don't need to be in our lives right now. We need to let them go too. We need to learn how to say no. We need to kiss more, hug more. Hugging is a good source of energy.
It is. Somebody said you need, like, I don't know, 10 hugs a day or something like that.
Easily. I hug everybody. I'm a great hugger.
You do. So let's talk about how people can get your book. What's your website? And how can they contact
Amazon.
You?
Just go to Amazon. You know, won a bunch of awards.
Oh, I didn't tell. Tell us about it.
When the book was first written, we just sent it out to varying and sundry places and you know, new author. It won best. I'm doing this from memory. Please forgive me. You know, it best in its class, African American female, number 19 best nonfiction in the U.S.
Congratulations.
Three or four, because of the stories. You know, I bared my truth. Yeah. You can't get a racehorse out of a mule. You can get this from Amazon. It's probably easiest, or, you know, me directly. So horses versus mules at gmail.com. And I'll send you a autographed copy.
I got a copy, but mine's not autographing.
We gotta work that out. Oh, yeah, the kids, it all. I got books that have all three authors on it.
Okay. So Brenda, in closing, what would be the last words you would like to say to listeners all over the world?
Think it, see it, then go ahead and manifest it. Think, see, manifest, but do it now.
I love it.
I love you.
Everybody, this is a powerful show. Thank you so much, Brenda. I want all of you to share this on your timeline. Share this with that coworker that's been getting on your last nerve. Share it with your family members, your sisters, and your brothers, and listen to this over and over again. You know, they say that it takes 7 times to hear something over and over for it to really get down in your spirit. So I want you to do that. Thank you so much again, Brenda. Everybody, you know, I'm
Thank you.
saying more in 2024, more journaling, more prayer, more meditation, more moving your body, more changing your thinking, all of the above. Make a decision to create a powerful week. Thank you, Brenda.
Bless you, girl. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Think, Believe, and Manifest. Constance Arnold will be back next week with another great show just for you. For more information, please visit fulfillingyourpurpose.com.